everybody. Welcome to the After Show podcast. I am Jason. That is Jacob. This is the show after the show, where we talk about things we didn't get an opportunity to chat about on the air. Sometimes it's me just riffing for 10 minutes and then taking a break and then riffing for another 10 minutes with a lack of support from the guy who's giggling in the background, who never helps. He hears me struggling because I'm tired sometimes and just nothing. Just like right now, just letting me hang out there. Doesn't join the conversation in any way. Doesn't give me moral support. Just lets me hang out. Then I pause, and then he doesn't start.
It doesn't seem to bother you. You've never brought it up till right now. We've been working together for years.
Yeah, well, maybe that needs to come to an end. Let's talk about a story. Where did this come from?
Huffington Post.
Okay, so Huffington Post basically took issue with the current dating scene, presumably for millennials or younger people, and how alcohol is playing too large a role, and it's kind of ruining it, correct?
Yeah. Let's see what the headline was real quick. Modern dating is making us drink more, which is making us worse at dating. That's the premise.
Why is modern dating making us drink more?
They don't really back up that the first start of the claim. I mean, they indicate...
I believe it, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, so they list some statistics. A 2014 survey from Plenty of Fish found that 36.4% of singles drink before going out, 48.9% drink during the date, averaging two or three drinks during the course of the evening. There's no like study from before that they're citing. Yeah. So they're just saying that that's a big number.
Which I suppose I would argue drinking isn't ruining dates. Dating is ruining drinking, right? I mean, because the reason why this is an issue is presumably because more people are using dating apps and they're not going on full-on dates at restaurants and movies. They're kind of tiptoeing their way into these potential relationships, knowing that I've got 100 different options. Let me go meet so-and-so at a bar real quick. And if it goes well, we'll continue the date. If not, you know, I go for two drinks and then I'm out, maybe even meeting someone else that same day, that same night. And so the drinking is just a result of how people are choosing to date, not the other way around.
I think what I would say, and they don't make this argument, but that dating
They don't make any argument. They just put, here's a study and a clickbait.
I mean, I think there's a lot of ways that our technology kind of allows us to avoid situations that make us anxious. Mm-hmm. And dating is one where you still can't. There's some parts of it that you can, but you're still going to have to go on that first date that's just going to be as nerve-wracking as it always has been. And I think a way that
it's a little less?
A little easier?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit easier only because before you go out on that date, you're having more contact with this person and you know more about them before you go out on that date, which should alleviate some of the stress. It doesn't alleviate all of the anxiety by any stretch. But if it was a 10 before, it's at least a 9, right? I mean, just for the average person, it's probably much lower than that.
Yeah.
But you know that they're interested in this kind of movie or music because you looked at their Facebook profile. You know what they look like outside of your drunken stupor when you first meet them in a bar because you're looking at all their photos. Like you're talking with them. Unless we're now at that point where people aren't really even talking online before just going for the date, where you would think that you do at least a week, maybe even 2 weeks of chatting before just immediately meeting up. So, and I'm talking about relationship seeking, not hookups.
I think there's a guy that I met recently who had an interesting take.
On a dating app? Did he pay? You made him pay though, right? Rephrase the start of that.
I met a guy. I mean, I just met a person. There's no better. I mean, he's a friend of Julie's. Like, he's just a person that I met.
You met them on like Tinder.
He described dating apps and dating came up, and he was describing how he refuses. He's like, I'm not going to talk to anyone for more than a few messages before I ask them out.
That's ridiculous.
I mean,
talk more before you ask someone out if you meet them at a bar.
He seemed to think that. Well, but if you're meeting someone at a bar, you're already meeting them.
But that's not a date. That's just you.
You're going up cold. You know way less about them.
But that's my point. Is that's not a date. That's what you do. That's your screening process before you have a date with that person. Unless, again, you're just trying to hook up with them. Mm-hmm. So let's say you meet someone at a bar. You go up to them, and you're basically having the conversation you otherwise are now having on Tinder or any of these apps.
Yes.
And then if you like the person based upon that conversation and a whole host of things, their personality, their looks, you then ask them out on an actual date.
What I well
So you're having more than a few sentences worth of conversation.
Everyone in the group thought this guy was a little bit ridiculous for making this claim.
Because he is. He's crazy.
But what I will say is that I think I absolutely understand the reasoning behind it. And I also think that there's
what's the reason?
Because you're not actually getting any... you're oftentimes not getting real helpful information from these little exchanges on a text on a dating app because people are not who they are. They put on these different shows about themselves.
Sure. I mean, they do. To a degree,
and,
yeah.
And I think he thinks that he has a better chance of getting a real sense of the person once he meets them in person. So he wants to cut to that as quickly as possible.
But that's just bizarre to me. Maybe he's doing it wrong. Like, maybe he's part of the conversational problem in that... He has this preconceived notion going in that, I'm not going to learn enough about this person. I'm not going to get a general feel for who they are. Let me just cut to the chase, essentially, and meet them and do that, which I suppose, especially if you're impatient, I totally get that. But maybe he's going in and that's what's causing really bad conversations.
Where he was coming from was that people were complaining. Normal voice.
He's not that close of a friend. This is not Bunker.
I don't know him at all.
I
know his name, and that's about all I know about him. He was coming from the reason everyone kind of jumped on him is because people were complaining about dating, and he said that it was easy. And so everyone was like, what are you talking about? And so he kind of comes from the similar place from you. I think so. Yeah.
Okay, it's not that easy.
Or he's getting everything that he wants out of the experiences.
Or he's not judging it from a relationship standpoint. He might be judging it from a hookup standpoint.
Or whatever it is. Like some people just go from like short relationship to short relationship. I don't know anything about him.
That's a fail, right?
No, I mean...
Going from short relationship to short relationship...
That's what people want. People can want very different things from dating.
That's a slightly extended hookup. I mean, traditionally, when people say they want a relationship, they want one person to be with for a long period of time, if not forever.
Maybe. I mean, like, why?
Do you go into relationships just wanting it to last a month?
Some people do. I'm saying that some people absolutely do, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, if that's what you want and you're upfront about it, I don't think there's anything like morally wrong with it. I'm just saying that's not what most people say. When we're talking about relationships, that's just extended hookups.
I also absolutely don't think that everyone's going out there and thinking that I need this to be a marriage connection or else it's not of value to me.
But I don't think they're going in with the intent, I just want this to last 2 weeks and then I'm going to find someone else.
No.
I don't think most people believe that either. And I don't think, let's say the people who do want that, the sort of just the hookup sort of culture, and they're buying into that, even if it's maybe for a more extended amount of time than a one-night stand, they don't generally refer to it as relationships.
Maybe.
I mean, they just call it hookups or friends with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, if that's what you want to do, cool, as long as you're telling the other person, and like, or at least there's a shared understanding of that, because the worst thing I imagine for the person you're hooking up with is if they think it's going to lead to a relationship, and it's not, and you're just using them basically for the sex, that feels kind of shady.
The second part of this entire article is that it's making us less successful at it. And that was actually what was the interesting part
because
of this.
Because you're drunk
to me.
And you're not.
Yes, yeah, so you're developing these connections with people that you wouldn't necessarily otherwise because you've kind of. It's not. I guess it's. The old idea was like beer goggles where it's like you'd be attracted to someone you wouldn't be otherwise. I think it's even. They're not even really
the
describing that.
The Amy Schumer joke from season one or two.
I mean, I think it predated Amy Schumer.
She doesn't steal things, and she's not a hack. She does everything for the first time ever.
I'm not saying she didn't hilarious way.
She didn't advance the premise. She literally had beer goggles, I think, in one of the episodes.
But that you, even beyond beer goggles, just like you'll like show more of your personality, but you'll also like just feel connection with the people that aren't like.
Well, that's if you're getting drunk, right? You can have
how many? Well, that's
I'm
not
saying
true.
You no. could have
you can have two drinks and that's like you can absolutely
but that's not
form
gonna
a connection
ruin.
With someone that
no,
you
no,
wouldn't
I,
otherwise.
But doesn't it say it's ruining?
It's making us less successful at it. Basically, that
yeah. But I'm saying I don't think if let's say you have two beers or one or whatever it is to take the edge off, basically, so you don't feel as anxious. That's not enough to have a beer goggle effect where you are ruining the date.
That's not what they're saying. But and you're not ruining the date. That's not that's
a relation. Okay,
they're saying is that. Basically, let's say you go on a bunch of dates,
okay.
and really, there's only one of these five people that you would have actually that you have a real chance of like having a meaningful relationship with. If you're drinking on all five of these dates that you go on, there's a greater chance that you'll assume you have some connection with these people, even though you don't, because of the way that you're less inhibited and you're more likely to form connections with people.
But they're not basing that on your rate of drunkenness.
What do you mean?
So. Say that last part again, because it sounds like they're saying you are tricking yourself due to the alcohol.
Into you're thinking convincing that you're attracted to someone, not just based on looks, but also based on personality and general connection.
But that's my point, is I don't think that that's true unless you're getting drunk. Because, again, let's say, I'm presuming they're talking about not all in one day, correct? I hope not. 5 dates in a day.
No, I made up that entire story.
So if you go on a date and you have a drink or two to cut down the anxiety, mm-hmm. you're still of sound mind that you can identify yes. whether or not you have anything in common. Now, the opposite, of course, is let's say you drink 5 drinks mm-hmm. and you're sloshed. And then you trick yourself because you're drunk into thinking you have that deeper connection. That's so it's not alcohol ruining a potential relationship or wasting people's time. It's drinking too much that's causing that.
The same survey that they referenced before found that 19.1% of guys have gotten drunk on a first date, and so have 16.8% of women. That's not all first dates.
But that's not a lot. And I'm willing to bet those first dates really. I mean, if you're getting sloshed, you're mm-hmm. not necessarily, unless you were really nervous and then you got a little bit too ahead of yourself. Mm-hmm. Those are probably people who wanted hookups.
You don't think that there's a difference between being drunk that you're describing and having a few drinks where you still generate or develop a friendship with someone that you wouldn't otherwise? Like that'll lower your inhibitions enough to where your judgment is a little bit unclear.
No, I don't. I think it lowers the inhibitions that would get in the way of you forming a potential relationship or meaningful friendship, right? That you're so anxious, you've got the butterflies in your stomach that you can't even hold a conversation that you would normally be able to hold because you're so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, gets in the way of you forming a meaningful relationship, you not being able to get over those nerves. And so you introduce...
But also, let's say you are that nervous person. Wouldn't you want to be with someone who, from the get-go, without you needing to be inebriated in any way, would be find a way to make you comfortable or would be comfortable with you or accepting of that?
Then you're putting the onus on them. You can just be a naturally yeah. nervous person. It's like people who...
that's all dating is, putting the onus on other people, demanding that they like you.
Yeah, demanding that they like you, but not make you feel comfortable per se, because you can just feel uncomfortable because you're meeting someone for the first time. That's like a normal anxiety, mm-hmm. and some people can't deal with that kind of anxiety very well. And that's not, you can make it as comfortable as humanly possible. Someone who is just more likely to be super anxious to the degree that they can't even hold a conversation, they're not going to be able to help that. But maybe the second date, it doesn't exist because of the first date, because they went through it and it ended well mm-hmm. and they felt that connection and now they feel comfortable. I don't feel immediately comfortable around any stranger, date or not. Mm-hmm. Like, I just met you. I have no idea who you are. I don't feel, quote unquote, comfortable.
And does alcohol fix that?
It can. Not for me, because mm-hmm. I don't normally drink. And if I have one drink, I'll be drunk at that point. Like, that's how weak I am. But for some people, it cuts down. It's like, put it this way. It's like someone taking a Xanax, mm-hmm. a prescription Xanax that you get from your doctor. It lowers, quote unquote, inhibitions a little bit, but it just makes you feel a little bit more comfortable in situations that would normally cause you to not act like yourself, to act so nervous that you can't hold a conversation. It gets rid of that. And then you can act like yourself. Because yourself is not normally involved in that kind of anxiety, right? Your normal self right now, how you're acting, this is your normal self. Now cut to you on a date, first time you're meeting them, that's mm-hmm. not your normal self.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it just puts you to where you need to be your normal self, because the outlying pressures on the moment act you to be unlike yourself.
But the complaint about that so many people have about dating is that we all are trying to be ourselves and not successfully
in
doing
a situation
it.
That you can't potentially
and just
be yourself.
Adding any type of intoxicant, I think, is going to skew in some way. And I think that's what they're saying is, like, if we were all did a better job of trying to be exactly like just. Maybe I don't know what it is exactly. Maybe it is just being that anxious version of yourself, because that's who you are and that's what you're going to be in that context.
That's who you are in that context. It's not who you are.
Yeah, but
because you're not normally dealing with
again,
that kind of anxiety.
But then if you're trying to avoid that, then you're simulating a version of yourself for a context that you know that isn't who you are in that context. Again, it's just like, if I can see how the argument that they're kind of implying that, and ultimately where they go is that this one person just kind of describes, she starts going on these dates sober and she realized that I'm as fun of a person sober as I am drunk, and I was kind of lying to myself or like fooling myself into believing that this was necessary when it wasn't. And now that I've done this, I'm doing a better job of figuring out who it is I actually do want to be with.
That sounds a little bit self-helpy in she's being told that. In the sense that I'm reading something like, you should be in love with yourself regardless of whether you're drunk or not or inebriated. And I generally agree, but that reads like a sort of a contrived position they want you to take because it's the supposedly more healthy position.
Hold on.
Let's continue this conversation because we don't have a second story after this quick break. Welcome back to the After Show podcast. I'm Jason. That's Jacob. Go.
Let's see. I don't remember what I was going to say, but I was.
It was
going
only
to...
30 seconds ago. How did you forget?
Well, talk for like 15 seconds. I'm going
to
play.
I will talk for 15 seconds just to reset everybody. Even though the truth is, I don't need to reset on a podcast. It's not like we just took a 14-minute break and new people are tuning in who weren't tuning in the last segment. It's the same segment. It's a podcast. We're sitting in this, and you want truth be told, we didn't even take a 30-second break. We took a 2-second break, and he just inserted a spot, although maybe the spot won't work this time because we just transferred over to
That's
a new
true.
System.
I'm actually pretty, I'm not.
The commercial's not going to get, you know, this isn't going to be, there was just a 2-second break. So really, you lived it like you normally, like we did.
Have you heard Mike Birbiglia?
Comedian?
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like I might have brought it up before, but
I've heard the name. Can't spell it.
He has a. This is one of his early jokes, actually.
I love being back in D.C. I lived here for a while.
Hopefully, he doesn't swear. I don't know if he does.
Yeah, I love it here, man. Oh, thanks a lot. That's real nice. I live in New York City right now. I got an apartment. It's a little bigger than my body, and my friend came over to give me advice. He's like, "You got to get nice little hand soap for your bathroom. Women love that." And I was like, "Do they also love it when your shower's 1 foot from your toaster? Because I got that going on too."
Hopefully this becomes relevant soon.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
I don't.
Because I got 3 minutes like and I got a meeting.
I saw a mouse in my apartment the other day. I leaned over. I was like, "Where are you going to sleep?" I got a great building, though. I got my own drug dealer for the building, so
I don't think
every
this
time
is gonna pick up where you think it is.
Tries to sell me drugs, so, like, let's I'm walking out in the morning. Paul, you might also enjoy.
Folks think we're lying when we say we don't do it.
Yeah, this is gonna sound pretty weird for a second.
I'd be like, I never thought of it that way. Drinking either. My friends will drink it.
There we go. We're getting close.
Are we? We got 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not good at drinking either. My friends will drink anywhere. My friends actually drink at the laundromat, and then I tried it, and I thought I was in a submarine navigating the sea of dirty panties with my Spanish-speaking crew. I was like, "Mrs. Sanchez, set the coordinates to permanent press. Rita, the engines are stalling.
Where's this
Get
journey
me
taking
some
us,
quarters
Jacob?
And another drink." This place is starting to look like a laundromat. There's all these sports analogies when you drink.
Okay, yeah. I think we're going to give up. That was the worst thing ever. You just ruined the ending. That was not a good power out.
I don't care.
You got to give a power out.
Not today. It's a podcast, today. Jason.
Not ever. When was the last time you gave a power out? I don't even do power outs. And that's the bottom line.